You're listening to ZKMS 102.7 FM in Warrell, Ontario, radiowarrell.ca on the web. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the ZKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of this show on radiowarrell.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website. I'm your host, Ivan Angelovsky. As the Warrell Region's Police Board starts discussion on the next budget, we're talking with Dr. Kathy Hoggart, an associate professor in the School of Social Work in University of Warrell and former advisor to Police Chief Brian Larkin on issues of race. In the last few months, the Police Board received several reports that show the police bias against Black and Indigenous people. While board members were surprised by these reports, Dr. Hoggart wasn't surprised at all.
Anybody who's surprised by this, I ask, where have you been? Where have you been living for the last 40 years? Why is this surprising to you? Because Black and Indigenous bodies, Black and Indigenous activists, leaders, we've been saying this for the last 40 years. So why is it a surprise now to anyone? If it's a surprise, it really tells me that a lot of those who are in leadership positions, who are enacting violence, they're really tone deaf. They have not listened. We see it. We see it played out in many other ways. So one of the responses to all of this, the police has led in the last month or so, they've led countless consultation sessions so they can hear from the public, from the groups affected. And I say, why? Why is it now you're willing to listen? We've been saying it for decades. What has prevented you from hearing from the decades past? And why would you hear now? So for those who express surprise at the findings, I say, where have you been? This is not the time for surprise. And maybe you're being surprised at the wrong thing. Be shocked at your own deafness, but not at the fact that this has been happening at your hands. But this is not a new reality. There is nothing new about Waterloo Region didn't wake up and find themselves in this position overnight. This has been ongoing, and the chief isn't new to his position. Again, I go back to the moment of surprise. That folks who are surprised, the surprise in itself tells another story about how we as a society have viewed Blacks and Indigenous in our space. That we can now be surprised at the brutality that's been happening at our own hands. That's the surprise for me, that we can be surprised. It's a counter surprise, really.
So do you want to say that actually they don't want to hear?
I think much of what has been happening in our society right now with we are going to address things, we need to hear, we need to learn. Much of what's happening is very performative. It is in the wake of calls, a global call to address a global issue of racism. No one wants to be seen as the organization, the system, the structure that isn't responding to these calls. So a lot of what we see happening is very performative. Checkbox. Yes, we've consulted with our community. But consultation is futile if you're going to do nothing. Consultation is futile because you've heard this before. We've told you this before. The days for consultation are over. We've been there. We've been down that road. Are they going to do something? The proof is in the pudding, as they say. My hope is that we move to structural changes. What we need now, what we have now existing, is a systemic issue. It's deep. It's really embedded into everything we do. We cannot hope that training is going to resolve this. We've invested as a nation millions of dollars and decades of training, and we are still racist. Okay? So the training of police officers isn't going to fix this for us. It needs to be deeper than a Band-Aid.
You have worked in different capacities with Warrell Region Police Service. What do you think? Are they aware of racism problems?
Yes, they are. And I've had many discussions with Chief on this issue years ago. We've had discussions about changing the, we Chief and I have had discussions about representation and why representation matters in the police service, why leadership of the police services needs to change to represent the public they serve. Those are discussions we've had. Those are discussions I think we've had agreement on years ago. And today, 2020, those are discussions that are still new to the police service. Have they heard? Yeah, they've heard. Well, they've been told. Have they heard? I don't know. I can't speak to that. Will they change? Well, there's a pattern that's building of hearing and not doing. If we are to rely on the pattern, it doesn't bode well for change, for future change. When George Floyd was murdered in public, it created a kind of symphony, worldwide symphony, an outcry. And many people thought this was horrendous. And I say, but 5 years ago, Eric Gardner died publicly, almost the same way. Where was the outcry? So why is this new? So we go through this, these moments of being awakened, our senses being awakened, and then we go back to sleep and we forget it happened like a dream. We go right back to sleep.
Has anyone ever, Chief Larkin or anyone else, acknowledged that there is a racism issue in World Regional Police Service?
A public acknowledgement, no. I don't know that there has been a public acknowledgement that there is racism. There are good police officers and there are bad police officers. And I say we cannot even begin those discussions about good and bad. This is not about the good officer and the bad officer. This is not about the rogue. This is about a system, a culture, a system that is designed in a certain way. The system works. Our police services work exactly the way it was designed to work by white supremacists. It works. What we are asking for is to break the system of white supremacy that works, because there are other bodies. And the way the system was built to, as a tool of management of Black bodies and Indigenous bodies, we are asking to revisit that. As a matter of fact, don't just revisit it, break it up, dismantle it.
But the first step in that is acknowledging that there is an issue.
Yes.
And if they don't acknowledge it even privately.
You're absolutely right, Ivan, in terms of we can't get to reconciliation without first acknowledging, right? We can't change our systems unless we acknowledge that our system is actually not working. We will not get to change when we dance around these issues of brokenness and not working. Until we get to a place where we are bold enough to say the police services is not working in its current construction, until we get to that place, we won't change it, because it works. It works for the majority, and that's the point. It works. It works the way it was designed to work, but the design was flawed. So I think this is going to be the challenge before us always. When there are these outcries for reform and defund the police and reallocate, when there are these outcries, there's another matching outcry, but it works. And yes, I want to acknowledge that it works for some. It works for some. What we are asking for is a service that works for all of us, because we all need police services. It shouldn't just work for some. So reform, reallocate, it's about getting to a service that works for all of us, not just some of us.
How high on the police priority list is resolving the racism issue among themselves?
I don't have expertise on the inner workings of police services, but I have expertise on how communities function. And here's what I'll say. What I see is the need to protect turf. We have a saying in third world feminism, equity feels like oppression when you're accustomed to privilege. The fact is, people feel that calls to reform, to change, is going to erode some of the privileges they've been accustomed to. And so their reaction is to hold on even more tightly to what is, to maintain the status quo, because calls to reform seems like a personal attack on their piece of the pie. And we are saying, I say, this is not about your piece of the pie. We are not taking away your piece of the pie. We want to enlarge the pie so others can have a piece too. It's not taking yours away. What I see happening is a lot of defensiveness. So we have to defend police services. We have to defend, and with defensiveness often comes a lack of critical thinking about who we are. When we are more focused on defending why we exist, we lack the critical insight to really gaze at ourselves and ask, should we be changing? Could we be changing? And how so? Everything else becomes superficial because defenses, putting up that wall, becomes most important. And that's what I see at play here. We have to defend the budget we have, so we won't even consider reallocating funds because we have to defend the budget. We have to defend our officers so that we won't even critically look at how we engage, how we practice services. Instead, we will categorize the bad officer, the rogue officer, right? We will let that one take the hit to maintain the status quo. Those are problematic trends that we are seeing, and they don't bode well for sustainable systemic change.
Yeah, I mean, when you say defund the police to an average, you know, white Canadian, that sounds like...
Yeah. When you say defund the police, I think what people hear is no police services, right? And I don't think ever in any of the calls to defund the police, there has been the get rid of police. Defund the police is simply a call to reallocate some of the funding that goes to police in recognition of the fact that police, the mandate of police is way beyond their scope. I've said before, we can't police race. We are, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't be policing homelessness. We are, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't be policing poverty. We are. But we shouldn't. So when we look at the reach of police services and the things they are now expected to do, it's beyond their training, it's beyond their mandate. So there's this creep of mandate that needs to be addressed. And so they need more funds to do the creep. And we are saying take the creep away, take the funds away, and reallocate those funds to the social services agencies that can actually do the work.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Ivan Angelovski and this is the KMS Newsroom. We're talking with Dr. Kathy Hoggart, a University of Orla professor, about the plan to reallocate the police budget in the region. Recently, a group called Reallocate WR, inspired by the KW Solidarity March for Black Lives this June, drafted a plan to use a slice of police budget to improve community safety, invest in public transit, health, housing, and other critical areas.
So I've looked at the plan. I've had the opportunity to review that plan. And I think it's a very well thought through plan about how we might reallocate those funds. It is by no way an overstretch because much of what they're asking for in the reallocation budget is justifiably to address some of the greater society issues that policing doesn't have the capacity to do or to do well, right? And so I don't know if you've had the opportunity to look at the plan. To me, it's a well-curated plan. And I think if others are able to go look at that plan, it may answer many questions for folks about this is not defunding the police has never been about just taking money and doing nothing with it or spending it freely. It has been about how do we think about community and community well-being beyond policing.
But then how did we come from allocating $29 million to police asking for $8 million more in the next budget?
What the police budget reflects is a lack of consideration to what community has said in terms of this is an overreach. You continue to overreach. So you're now building a budget asking for $8 million more without taking into account that there's some of your work that you don't need to be doing, right? And I think that that budget, therefore, is built on is built with a lack of consideration for what community is seeing.
What would you say if you were on police board? What would you tell them?
I'd say, let's listen. We've heard enough. We've heard it. Now it's the time for us to actually digest what we've heard. Let's truly listen to what we're hearing. And I'm not saying at all that there aren't those on the police board who maybe haven't said the same thing. I think it's time to hold the police accountable. If I were on the police board, I'd be saying, let's hold ourselves accountable. Let's actually review what our community leaders are saying to us. Let's map that against what we know as our reality. And let's see where those discrepancies exist. We do not need to invest police time. And this is a simple issue. We've invested countless hours in the last few months in police time on doing public consultations. We could have reinvested that time. We could have invested that time in taking all the consultation, all the data we've heard already, and working with it, rather than going out there as though this is something new. This isn't new. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of police time.
This is CKMS Newsroom, and I'm Ivan Angelovski. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking with Dr. Kathy Hoggart, University of Orla professor, about policing in this region. Police work is overseen by a civilian body called Police Services Board. That board has 8 members, none of which are people who identify as Black or Indigenous. Dr. Hoggart expressed her interest in becoming a member of the board several times, but that never happened.
I'm not at all upset about that. What I'm upset about, and I've said this to Brian Larkin before, representation matters. We cannot keep talking about Black and Indigenous bodies as though they were something out there that's so different from who we are if you are not at the table, you are being consumed. And we see that playing out through police services every day. We are not at the table. We are being consumed. What surprises me, and we talk about low-hanging fruit, the fruit that you just pick off the tree, you don't have to fight for it, you don't have to climb for it, low-hanging fruit. What surprises me is that it's in the midst of such turmoil regarding race, when the police board had options to do representation, they chose not to. That surprises me. And that tells me really how well they're able to listen or not. And it signals what kind of responses we should be expecting from them.
Yeah, it's not encouraging at all.
No, not in the least bit encouraging. And I say, do I personally, so you've asked me personally, why haven't they selected me? I think there could be a number of reasons why they've not selected me. I am not at all naive to the fact that I was one of those persons who spoke against the police services in the discrimination case.
A few years ago, there was a class action lawsuit alleging gender discrimination and sexual harassment by Waterloo Regional Police. Supreme Court of Canada recently dismissed that request without explanation, but it was Dr. Hogarth who spoke about it first.
I said to Brian Larkin the day that case was filed, the same thing I said in the deposition. I said to Brian Larkin, you will not hear anything from me that you have not already heard. I've said it all to you. So there were no surprises there. But I do understand that the desire to sever relationships with me personally, right? But this isn't about the personality. We need to move beyond the politics of the person and ask ourselves some of the bigger questions, because when I was speaking for Brian Larkin, he was quite happy to parade me in community as his advisor. He was happy until I dared to stand up and say, well, yes, I actually said this to Brian, and now I'm saying it publicly, right? And I'm saying, if we are going to stand on the side of our integrity, if we are going to stand on the side of real meaningful change, what we are going to say in private, we must be willing to stand up for in public. That's called integrity. What our community needs right now are people of integrity. We need to be transparent with our community. And he speaks to this. He speaks these words in the last board meeting. These were words spoken by him. Transparency. We need to be transparent with our community. I'm not so sure that these are words we actually believe in.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Ivan Angelovsky and this is CKMS Newsroom. We're talking with Dr. Kathy Hogarth, a University of Waterloo professor, about police in the region. One of the latest decisions of the police board is for the police to start testing body-worn cameras, which is a controversial practice.
Cameras are as good as the cop wearing them, right? When we have the opportunity to not turn our cameras on, turn our cameras off, right? Who is it protecting? I think we should probably spend that money and give every person their own body-worn camera to protect themselves against the police. Cameras are not the issue. Think about it. When we have moved to the need for a camera as protection, it tells you the state of affairs between the police services and its community. When the only thing that's going to be when the trust factor is now to rely on a camera. It tells you how bad we've become as a society. Cameras do not protect us. Cameras still work in the benefit of police services because they still get to determine when, how, and what data is going to be used from that. Right? And beyond all of that, they still get to be the adjudicators in many. Look at the independent investigation bodies for police servicing. A few years ago, we had in Waterloo Region, we had a consultation around the external investigation bodies. One of the officer, an SIU officer, a retired police officer from the region of Waterloo, sat at my table and these were his words. The reason there is a greater interaction between police services and Blacks is because Blacks draw attention to themselves. So the resolve, according to him, is that Black people need to stop drawing so much attention to themselves. This is an SIU officer with that kind of thinking. This is a retired Waterloo Regional Police Services officer with that thinking that the disproportionalities accounted for because Blacks draw attention to themselves. It's their fault. I'm sorry. I don't have faith in this moment that body cams are going to be an answer. Maybe in the future. But I think what we need is for policing to show good faith and take the next step. Not a performative action, not a checkbox we've consulted with community. No. Go back to the data you have. Go back to what you know. Those academics you want to consult, consult them. But consult them in a way with a view for change. First, acknowledge that we have a problem. We have a problem. Community can't be the only one saying we have a problem. So let's acknowledge as a system that we have a problem. Once we get to that point where there is a clear, outright acknowledgement, the police services of Waterloo Region has a problem, then we can begin to work at addressing what we see the problem as. But here's what, your problem is not your Black and Indigenous people. That's not your problem. So let's identify what that problem is within the service, within the system. Then we can move to meaningfully addressing it.
You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Kathy Hogarth, University of Waterloo professor, about police and race in Waterloo Region. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo, and you can email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover. The music was Black Room by Moby, thanks to MobyGratis.com. My name is Ivan Angelovsky, and I was your host for this program.